You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What time you guys do it at?
Welcome in to another awkward start to an episode. I'm your host, Bruno, joined as always by AJ Haefeli and Evan Rowell. We're here to talk a lot of NHL bubble hockey, basically, because that is what we have to talk about. Actual proper hockey, an entire week of it. Imagine that, having all of that. So I want to start off with, for you two, AJ, you and I kind of talked about the round robin teams the other day, but I want to know which team has been most impressive to you guys in the elimination rounds.
The Islanders.
Oh, okay, wow, big shot right there.
Not yeah, good. I mean, you know, with their with their domination and dismissal of the lowly Panthers, I think they've positioned themselves as the team to beat out East.
Over Carolina.
Over everybody. Carolina. Over all of them.
Man.
Tampa Bay is, oh, 1-0 Arizona. Tampa Bay is quaking in their boots.
I don't think Tampa's too worried about the Islanders.
Yo, they're going to rip-roar their way through all of Florida, okay? And then they're just going to work their way up the coast, smashing anybody in their way. It's going to be Godzilla-esque. Godzilla-esque!
I didn't know today was a joke podcast.
You know what? They're all joke podcasts.
Evan, how about you? Probably not New York.
No, Carolina looked legit.
Okay.
I mean, admittedly, I don't think the Rangers were going to be much competition for them.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, then. So hit the sound effect.
The Rangers were bad.
Yeah, but the Hurricanes dominated them, and they did. They got good goaltending, which I was not expecting. I thought that was going to be the one thing that would give the Rangers a game. Didn't happen. And they did it without Dougie Hamilton, who apparently was back on the ice. And I don't know what's going on with Brett Pesce, if he's coming back too, but that's a good looking team. And honestly, Montreal, I knew they were good structurally. That's why I didn't think they were the worst team in this whole thing, but they've looked pretty good because I thought Pittsburgh was going to steamroll them, and I'm pretty impressed.
The Montreal Carey Prices have looked pretty good. Yeah.
I thought what Carolina did, it was such a power move in holding Dougie Hamilton back. And then as soon as they run through the Rangers, they're like, oh, Dougie Hamilton's back.
Yeah.
And it was like, dude, they straight up were like, we don't need that dude to beat these guys.
They didn't.
Yeah.
They at didn't. All.
Like, it wasn't even close. They had no need for Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah. Your boys, they got Svech.
Dude. I told y'all he was about to put on a show. He was going to go off. It's I'm actually going to agree with Chad on this one. I think that Montreal looks good because Pittsburgh sucks. I'm so blown away at how mediocre they are, and honestly, Evgeny Malkin looks terrible.
Pittsburgh to me seems wildly inconsistent. I agree that Malkin has looked bad, but they will come out and have one like insane period. Where if Montreal just weathers that period, they can't come even close to playing a full 60. Like,
yeah, they're
old.
In game one, they had Montreal on the ropes and Carey Price held them in it.
Yeah. And,
but when I watch Pittsburgh, Crosby's line looks great, but yeah, Malkin's line. Zucker, I know he scored a couple goals, but he does not look like he fits in right now with them. And I know, I don't know how much time he even got with them in the regular season, but
not much.
It does. He doesn't look great, and it's disappointing because I think Crosby still looks really good, and Malkin's just kind of not doing his part.
Yeah, Crosby looks he still looks really good. I don't know that he looks top three player in the world good, but I would say Nathan MacKinnon hasn't looked like that either yet.
Definitely not. It's no big surprise that no one said any teams from the West.
Dude,
it looks so bad.
Yeah, especially in the play-in round, all the teams in the West, even the teams that are winning their series, it has not been pretty hot at all.
Let's be real here. Calgary advanced over a Winnipeg team that lost two of its best forwards in game one.
Yep.
And they got one shift out of Mark Scheifele in that whole series. It wasn't like it was late in game one. They lost him immediately in that game. It's been ridiculous. I was so annoyed because I picked Winnipeg thinking that forward depth was gonna win out, right? And then
there was
hurt. And it's well,
Andrew Kopp, first line center.
Well, their best player, their best forwards in that series were Ehlers, Lowry, and Kopp. And that's a great formula for how you lose in four.
Yeah, the West, that Minnesota Vancouver series is so hard to watch. I've watched a little bit of it, and it's brutal. And then the Chicago Edmonton series is a lot of fun to watch because my team's not involved with it or anything like that. But I think we expected that from Chicago, but Edmonton fans got to be losing their freaking minds right now.
Dude.
Edmonton Chicago is like a train wreck. It's super interesting and you don't want to look away, but for all the wrong reasons.
Just bet the over on that series every game.
Every single time. Hard to argue with that one. The teams as a whole, I don't know. Goaltending, extremely suspect outside of Hellebuck, who got ran out because his team couldn't score in the West. And, we've said it a million times before, but none of these teams scare me when it comes to the Avs playing them. So,
even this Nashville-Arizona series, Arizona looks pretty decent. But, yeah, they're just not scary.
I mean, Nashville's kind of run through them a little bit.
Yeah, it's... Nashville, what was the shots, 10-1 or 10-0, and then Arizona scored in their first shot in game three?
Yeah, and that's been the case, is that Nashville, they've outshot them, outchanced them. They've done everything. They just haven't outscored them. They've done everything else. And it hasn't been, special teams carrying them or anything. They've been fine. It's just the Coyotes have gotten the guys who have finished a chance in this game. They're getting outshot. What was it 15-9, and which that's not a huge disparity. That's not you're getting rolled. It's just a continuation of what's happened, and the Coyotes are up 1-0 because they finished. Grabner just had one great shot, and that was it. And it's been they are I felt good about Arizona taking out Nashville, but seeing how they've played, I don't feel good about them advancing. If they get through this series, I don't know. I don't know that I would pick them in against anybody out West, even Dallas.
Yeah, I definitely would not pick Arizona.
Dallas belongs in the conversation with all these teams too, because
they haven't exactly been great. Yeah,
no, they had one good period. Dallas did against Vegas, and that was it.
Yeah,
that's true. I said it last week. The West does not look good. It's just
it really doesn't.
Maybe two or three teams, and that's about it.
I think it's two because. And right now it feels like 1.5 because the Avs look great and Vegas looks good, but if Fleury's gonna play like that against the Avs, like, we might be on our way to the third blowout of Vegas this season.
Yeah, where the heck's where's Pacioretty? Like, he's not even in the bubble.
they gave an update on him today that he was going to. He's close to coming back.
Interesting question here from Facebook. It will be strange after the cup is awarded. Will the winning team get their traditional day with the cup, given that the offseason is going to be like 1 month?
Yeah, they've got to plan that immediately.
Congratulations, you've won it. All right, McKinnon, take the cup with you home. This is your
day. Yeah, straight up. I don't know how that's going to work, honestly. Plus, do the guys, like, do the Black Aces get a day with the cup? Or
yeah, I don't know.
They're still going to have the cup by the time training camp starts. The next training camp starts. It's just going to be in the Family Sports Center.
Dude, could you? God. I tell you what, if there's one thing that would make Lollipop Park pop a little extra, it would be the Stanley Cup hanging out in the middle of it.
Put the Stanley Cup in the middle of the laser tag arena.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Like, encased in the middle.
Yeah.
Taylor Hall rode into town, and you walk in, and you're like, oh, what's this? Huh, there seems to be a Stanley Cup in the middle of our practice facility.
Yeah, I mean, next season, their whole plan for next season sounds super, you know.
Ambitious?
Yeah, very ambitious, very optimistic.
Yeah.
But I'm not, what they're doing right now is working. Next season is a whole different thing. I don't know what's going to happen.
I mean, you gotta at least admire the NFL for their willingness to just put their head in the sand and be like, it doesn't exist. We're going to have fans at games.
Did you see that picture of the somebody put, what's the Weekend at Bernie's in the crowd in LA? Someone paid for a cutout of Weekend at Bernie's, the dead guy.
Bernie?
Yeah. He's just behind home plate.
I've enjoyed the fan cutouts of dogs.
Yeah, the Those giant dogs in the seats are amazing. Some of the pictures are like babies and stuff too.
I thought the cutout thing was funny. I think it's been wildly entertaining.
Great idea, for sure.
This whole fake noise thing is fake crowd noise. Yeah, I'm not a fan of this. I hate the
fake noise as
well. Yeah, that's and what's it seems to differ from venue to venue. And yeah. So it's just like sometimes it's fine. I don't mind it nearly as much. Like, I really haven't noticed it a ton in the NHL games. Although after Vegas scored yesterday, like, they piped that in super quickly where it was like the crowd noise and all.
Mm-hmm.
It came in really fast where I was like, oh, that almost sounded natural. And then it didn't at all. And it just sounded goofy because, like, you know better. You're like, that's fake crowd noise.
Yeah, you can just tell right away that it's not real.
Yeah, it's distracting, but I mean, it's whatever.
I listen to it, some of the stuff on the radio, just when I'm driving, and you couldn't even tell that there's no fans there. Like, the radio sounds great. I wish they could just pipe that in. Just forget the noise and
yeah.
Just want to hear all the banging on the ice. Not, well, that sounded weird, but the noise on the ice.
We're not doing freezing anymore.
I loved it when Cassian went for the big hit right in front of the Blackhawks bench and he missed, and you could just hear the entire bench just like, oh, just like, that's great. That's the stuff I want to hear.
Yeah, I do. I do really like all the noises that you can hear, all the conversations that the TV is still catching, yep. Even though they've like taken steps to
quite a bit, but
right. But it's fun to see some of the little things that you can still listen to.
They're just words. I wish they could just put them on TV, but
right. It's like, why don't you just mic all these dudes up? Give us a ref cam too.
I would be all about that.
I just saw that first goal on Bobrovsky. I did not watch that today.
Yeah.
Well, we do have to take our first period break here. So, of course, it's time to acknowledge Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. We have 8 of them on tap down at the DNVR bar. If you want to get it on tap, the best way to have yourself a beer, or, of course, You can always go down to the farmhouse in Littleton and pick up your beer directly from the source, whether it be the Avalanche Amber, the Mile High City, the Agave Wheat, and many others. They have a ton of amazing beers, and you get $5 off when you use code DNVR and pick up a meal from the farmhouse. Also, DraftKings Sportsbook's pick of the week here. I'm taking a game today. I'm saying, first of all, Montreal is going to finish off Pittsburgh. Not only that, they are going to blow them out. They're going to pick up 4 goals on Pittsburgh today, which you can bet on Montreal's over 3.5 at plus 270. If you want to make some money with DraftKings Sportsbook, you can go that way. You can, of course, bet on every single NHL game. You can make player bets, prop bets, you name it. You want to guess who scores the next goal? You can do that. You want to guess how many goals get scored by a team? You can do that. You want to guess the over-under on a game as a whole? You can do that. You want to guess an entire series? Whatever you want to bet on hockey-related, you can find it at DraftKings Sportsbook. Of course, baseball, basketball as well. Football, if it does ever return, you can bet there too. So they have you covered top to bottom with all of your betting needs. Head on over to your app store and download that DraftKings Sportsbook app, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. You can't go wrong with all of the amazing odds boosts they have every single week, whether it be betting on a hockey game or betting on futures. You can often make a good chunk of change when you take advantage of their odds boost. Sometimes it's basically giving away free money. So download that app today, and for a limited time, all new users get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000 when you use code DNVR when you sign up. So jump on it while you still can. $1,000 is a ton of money. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25x playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Thank God they changed the disclaimer so I don't have to mess it up anymore. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So we've talked about the teams a little bit, but we want to rate a few highlights. We have 10 highlights on the docket here coming from Bubble Play. We're going to go through, we're going to break some of them down, and I want to get ratings on a 1 to 10 scale from you guys. See what y'all think about some of the best and some of the not so best plays in the bubble. If we have a first clip up, go ahead and pick one. Play it here. Colorado clip here. I think we all know what's coming. 0-0. Kale McCarr is about to do something pretty special here. AJ and I talked about it the other day. Seeing the bomb one-timer from the point, not something we're used to seeing Kale McCarr do, but that one finds the twine, boys. So what do you got? Give me a rank here.
1 to 10?
1 to 10.
I'll go an 8 just because it is a Makar bomb that you don't expect. Other than that, it's a point shot. We used to see that from the Avs, so I think the Makar bomb gives it some extra oomph.
It's a fair argument.
I'm going to go 8 as well. I like Kadri gets an assist for almost falling down and the puck hitting his skate. I really like the Landy one-time backhand pass where he just it comes to him and he's like, get this away from me. And then obviously like the Makar bomb, this is not something that we see a whole lot of.
Right.
He doesn't, you know, he's much more of a, he likes to drag and he likes to work his way in and shoot and pick a corner. Instead, he just picked a corner by slapping it in there. And it's like, hey, if he's going to develop that part of his game even more, oh, y'all look out.
You know what? Playing golf the other day, Adam asked me, what is the most beautiful motion in sports? And I ultimately said McKinnon dangling through a defenseman and putting a top shelf. But a Kale McCarr shimmy has got to be pretty high on that list.
Nah, nothing better than a Ken Griffey Jr. swinging a baseball bat.
That's very true. But, you know, I had to rep hockey at the very least. But
I hear you.
If younger me definitely would have said Griffey's swing. I really like Tony Gwynn's swing, too, but anyway.
It's a good one to like.
I'm Barry Sanders. Anything he did.
Oh, he was so insane.
Next clip. All right, we got Toronto and CBJ here.
Oh, this was awesome.
Overtime. Yeah. PLD to finish the hat trick on the backhand side. Not even that much of a move. to be honest.
Yeah, what's Freddie Anderson doing? He goes to the backhand and just lets it be.
Yep.
That's what I was going to say. He doesn't even like act like he's going to go back to his forehand.
Just leaves it on the backhand, and Freddie just gives up high glove, basically.
Yeah, well, and it was interesting last night on Sportsnet after the game, they were talking about how Dubois' second goal was that snapshot on his forehand.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, Anderson was respecting him going back to that because he'd just gotten beat on it. And it's like, so you leave yourself super vulnerable to the move that he's like makes no bones about him about to make. Like he telegraphed that as hard as he possibly could. And then Freddie Anderson was like, all right, it's cool. Like,
cool.
Either you're twisting yourself into a pretzel to try and make excuses for the guy, or he just did something stupid.
All right. High rating for the hat trick or low ratings for the goaltending?
I'm
high rating for the hat trick.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 10, if only for that sick poke check by Teixeira in the D zone on AJ's boy. It was like the perfect – you cannot poke check any better. You literally just take it, and then you're gone. You just take it away from him, and you get the easy lane. So it doesn't get any better than that.
Watching that dude fall out of frame as he tried to get back on defense, I was like, feel it. Feel it. And then he scored, and I was like, oh, $11 million.
AJ, 10 as well?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Can I give it a 91?
Got him. 9.1.
An 11. Wow. 11 million.
Yeah, exactly. What's that AAV? Whatever his AAV is, that's what I'm giving it.
There you go. Perfect answer. Trader out of 10. Next clip. Here we go. I think we're going to see another good one here. Another one of AJ's boys, but actually his boy this time, getting absolutely murdered through the neutral zone.
Dude, he welcomes contact.
Yeah, he got right back up.
You don't need to invite it quite so much, dude.
Got blasted by a dude who didn't even have a stick. Like, you could see he was lining him up well before that.
He didn't have a stick before the play? I caught the hit. I saw the stick laying there, but I didn't see that he was just like skating around without a stick.
Yeah, no, he just circles back into the neutral zone, and like you can see him lining up Svech from the beginning with that play. And
there were some
great for him.
There were some good hits in that series.
Svech had a couple answer backs too, for sure.
Yeah,
he's got that mentality, man. He likes to hit people, but he's also, in his career already, he's gotten rocked a few times.
Yeah, just in general, I mean, that series started with Brady Shea lining up fast, and he never came back. So
that, you always wonder, like, a guy that gets moved and then his, you know, plays that first game against them, and he goes real hard like that, you wonder, like, how much of that was personal? How much of that was Brady Shea being like that guy in particular?
A little extra there. Yeah.
Poor Jesper.
For some reason, Brady Shea absolutely hates Jesper Fast, and he's like, I'm going to smoke that guy.
All right. So on a scale of Z hitting Scheifele to Matt Duchene getting hit by Ben Street on his own team, what is the ranking of this hit?
I'm gonna give it Duchene getting flipped by Orlov.
That's pretty high praise right there.
Good hit.
Colborne getting flipped by Amelin.
That was dirty pool, man.
In a 10-1 game.
Yeah, 10-1, you're gonna do that? That was dirty pool.
All right. Well, here we go. Clip number 4. Colorado up 4-0. Miko
Yes. Of
his own on the back check there. Definitely not going to get as high ratings as the hit we just saw, but it's nice to see Miko getting a little bit more physically engaged here in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was Miko's best game of the three that they've played so far by quite a bit, and physically he was all over the place.
That whole third period, he was on steroids or something. Like he was. he was on it. Like, there was at one point where he had the puck in the offensive zone, and he was just like, I'm not, you guys just got to get it off my, I'm going to hold on to this thing as long as I can.
That, him drawing that penalty when he cut into the middle of the ice, when he had a clear shooting lane, and I was like,
yeah.
Buddy. To end it through Sagan and like stuck his knee out and they kind of collided and it was just like super weird.
Yeah, and then like I was worried. I was like, dude, that's how you get knee injuries.
Yep.
And
when he took an extra second to get up, I was like, oh no, no, no.
I was like, dude, come on, why didn't you just shoot? And then like everything ended up being okay. And I was like, all right,
whatever. fine.
It's all good. Next all time, right. Just shoot, please.
All right, so give me a number on the hit. Okay, never mind.
I'll go with a three. I'll go with a three. Okay.
It wasn't a great hit. If you had the defensive play where he came back, I would have given that a 10.
Yeah, well,
in the first period,
I didn't go with that defensive play because we showed it off live on the post game. So, okay, next clip. We're good. All right, we have Chicago and Edmonton here. McDavid scoring his hat trick, and I don't think we have the replays, but that puck bounced off of
one,
two different players.
Double doink.
The double doink, indeed. AJ with the quick one, even though it's a hat trick goal. Hold on, I need a second ranking, because I did include this. Give me a ranking for hat girl here.
10.
10, yeah. For the hat girl, all right.
Awesome job.
That's a tough throw.
Yeah.
Just enough on it.
2-0 Arizona.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Nashville.
He scores that ridiculous second goal of that game, and then that's the one we're going to watch and rate.
Yep. I said the best and worst plays.
That's right. They can't all be bangers, man.
Oh, Arizona.
Yep. Evan, I need some numbers. AJ gave me a 1 and a 10.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go with 1 and a 10, too, because – you don't get extra points for a double doink. He didn't do that on purpose.
Right.
If he did, is it a hard 10, though?
Yes.
If you see somebody bank something off someone on purpose, which people do, that's a 10, because that takes extra level of hockey sense.
Well, it was like the Strom goal to start that series, that got coming. Them going.
That clip is coming.
Oh.
Next clip.
Oh.
Look at this. Speak of the devil, as Mike Smith makes a choice to do something.
Dude, what would...
He makes a choice. That's a way to put it.
And then
there are things you can do in life.
Strom,
and that was one of them.
Bank right there.
There's been some goofy goaltending, and this, like the one where Fleury's like doing the butterfly position, facing the back.
Yeah.
Forwards.
Yeah, that was wild too. So, are we just reversing the score from the last one? 10 for the shot, 1 for Mike Smith existing.
I'll give that one a 7.
Just a 7. Yeah.
Good hockey sense. But it was, I mean, that's
a gift.
Yeah, because it's so free.
That play started with a gift too, because Klefbom gave it to Kane right open the slot, and of course he takes a slapper from 3 feet away.
Yeah, what was that? Because and like he's not a guy that takes a lot of slap shots. And then he gets the puck by himself alone in front of the net, and he's like, this is the time.
That was like, what, 5 minutes into game one where Chicago was like, we're just here to have fun. I bet he was just like, YOLO. I'm going to wind up and rip this bad boy. Oh, God. Kemper just ate it behind his own net, so there's a lot of great goaltending going on.
Oh, jeez.
Some dicey goaltending so far in the bubble, but We got a couple more clips here. Let's go to the next one.
Let's do this. Oh, yeah.
The Jonathan Drouin penalty shot in game one.
The goods.
Montreal and Pittsburgh.
I can tell you, Alan Walsh wasn't tweeting about that.
Both of those penalty shots in that overtime were bad.
Neither were good, but the Drouin one was particularly disgusting.
He looks so bad to me.
I don't even need to ask you guys for a rating on that one. That's an easy one, I think.
I mean, it's an easy LOL.
Easy LOL.
Yeah.
Easy LOL.
Sound. In terms of hilarity, it's a 10. In terms of what we're doing here, it's a 1.
There you go.
Yeah.
Comedy 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A hard comedy 10.
2-on-0 here. A ridiculous save.
That well, he fell over.
It makes no sense. Like, instead of going into the butterfly, he, like, flops back and, like, bends his knees the wrong way.
Did his edge get caught or something? That's kind of what it looks like happened. Because other than that, that's just like, oh, God. How did he not get hurt?
That's what I was saying. But
that's the for the anybody who didn't watch that series, that's more or less Kyle Connor for that series. That's that might have been the only time you noticed him. He was so bad in that series. And the Cam Talbot got away with that save. Yeah. That's why one team moving on and the other not.
There you go. Give me a save rating.
A save rating? I mean, that's it's got to be like a 9. I mean, that's an insane save.
Yeah, because that's just pure recovery. Like,
yeah, can't give it a 10 because of the nonsense that it was.
Yeah, it's like something has gone horribly wrong to get here, and then he made up for it.
Yep.
He gets a 9 for his ankle just being intact at all.
Putting all of his body weight on it sideways. All right. Next clip. I think we got 2 more, 3 more. Vegas with the puck here. A nifty little play.
Ooh, by oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's
between his legs and put the puck in the net.
Just honestly, more than anything else, the presence of mind to do that is so awesome.
Well, he protects the puck from the defender closing on him by doing that as well. And then obviously Bishop's reaction is brutal. But
yeah, more goaltending.
Can we actually play that again, Kale? Can we play that one?
We'll see if he remembers what clip it was. Already did.
Because it kind of looks, we see 400 replays here. It kind of looks like he gets hit in the face and he's grimacing as he's doing it. It
looked like he might have got caught on the stick there, didn't it?
Yeah, watch his face when we get one of these other angles and you can actually see it. He kind of makes poop face.
Who are we talking about? The
Carrier. Yeah.
Like, Sekiro.
Right there. Look at him.
Poop face?
It caught the visor. I don't know if it caught his face properly.
Yeah.
But
he reacts to it where he's like, and you're like, yeah. And then like, he's mid-move while that happened.
Can't stop now.
That's an easy 10. Oh, Duchesne just scored.
He hit the crossbar 2 seconds ago.
That's impressive for a guy who got scratched.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, next clip, I suppose.
Hold on. Well, what is AJ's poop face? Come on. You're grimacing?
Yeah, it's like a, you know.
I think you
like
got to see a doctor if that's your poop face.
You know, like one of those, like like that South Park episode where you.
Oh, hot, 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 hot.
Happening. Oh, it's a good thing it's Free Speech Friday, man. Okay. All right. Play the next clip before it's too late. Right. We all know this one.
Oh, yeah.
The 0.1 second goal clip. I don't even need to play another replay of it. We're all giving that a 0.1 out of 0.1.
And what was the 100 frames? You said what was the actual time?
There were 36 frames in the slow motion recorded at 60 FPS, and it took 23, which equates to about 0.037 seconds left on the clock.
Nerd.
Yeah, you might want to tell that to the St. Louis broadcasters who whined about it for like half an hour.
Berube.
Well, I mean, he's the coach. He's allowed to whine about it.
No.
He's the one who actually lost.
Coaches whine about wrong stuff all the time.
Yeah, like they it happens all the time.
Okay, I think that's all the clips. I believe we got them all. So we are going to take our second period break here. Let's do it this way. Which one of those was the Strava Craft Coffee clip of the first week in the bubble?
Kadri.
Yeah, it's Kadri. We might never see that again.
I believe we will never see a game-winning goal scored that late ever again. So if you want that type of energy, head on over to StravaCraftCoffee.com and use promo code DNBR20 to get 20% off when you purchase your coffee. And if you want to sign up for their subscription service, you can get 20% off every single time you buy. You can even try it in and around Denver at multiple locations if you want to test it out before you commit. The CBD is non-psychoactive and has really changed lives. It's been known to help anxiety, migraines, IBS, many other aches and pains as well. So give it a go today. third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Rudo, AJ, Evan, sitting around talking a little bit of hockey. I got some questions for you guys on the Avalanche. Since you guys are in the locker room far more often than I am, you guys walk in with the players. You see the things about this team. Who's best dressed on the Colorado Avalanche?
Zadorov.
Yeah, you like the tight pants that don't even go down to his ankles? You think that's the hipping with it?
Sure.
Apparently, I have no sense of style.
For the record, me neither.
So. Yeah, me either. Not the right crew to ask that question.
Yeah.
Apparently. All right. I don't know. We'll have to get someone.
We need to get Allie for that.
Yeah. Well, we should get Allie for that, and probably Allie for this next question as well.
Allie and RK should do. They should have like a on TDSP every week. They should have like a fashion segment. Section. Yeah.
There you go. I like that answer. All right. Who is the second best skater in the Avs forward core?
Nieto, maybe.
You think so?
I'm trying to. He's the first guy that popped into my head.
Maybe Namestnikov.
Yeah, that's a good guess. Or a good answer.
He's fast, but I really like his balance. He doesn't ever really seem like he's like Nichushkin's fast, but he always looks like he's on the verge of toppling over. What I like about Namestnikov is he's fast, he's quick, he's got the good acceleration, and it's playable speed. It's not like it takes him so long to get up to top speed that he never like it doesn't do anything for him. He's able to get there and he's able to make use of it, and he's got good edge work. He is very able, he really, all of his skating is good. The good edge work, balance, all of it, I think, is good. I would probably have Namestnikov there.
Yeah, I'll stick with Nieto, maybe Berkey on that.
Confer's a pretty good skater too.
Yeah, I thought about him too, but yeah, I mean, not Kadri. He's got kind of an awkward skating style, but
yeah,
Kadri's more of a finesse player than raw speed and skating ability.
Yeah,
I would say skating's. He has succeeded despite being.
Skating is good enough to allow him to do what he needs to do.
Yeah, I would say he's about an average skater.
Yeah,
yeah. I do think Landy's a lot better skater than he's given credit for. Once he gets going, he's really good. But as we know, he like Mikko tends to fall on his butt quite a bit. Balance is a big part of skating.
Landy ain't ever juking anybody.
What's that?
Landy skates in straight lines a lot, which, look, he has a body type and play style that allows him to do that and be just fine, but you're not seeing him walk around, guys.
Yeah.
No.
So, I know it's hard to rank skating because everyone likes to put it in one straight line, but there's many different facets to skating ability and style. So, just curious what y'all thought. Obviously, MacKinnon, the best skater of the bunch, but... Would you guys put Makar at 2 on the team as a whole?
Yes.
Okay. I thought so. So, just curious what your guys' thoughts were on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good skating group as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Where, I guess we can expand this question then. Where do you rank the Avs as a team in skating compared to the rest of the league? Because a lot of people mark them as this run-and-gun team, which I would say is somewhat true, but not fully.
That's tough because you have to really spend a lot of time with watching a team to get an idea. Tampa Bay is really good, for example. I think Philly is really good.
top five, top 10?
No, I would say top five.
Yeah, I think they're top five. Not everyone on your team is going to be a burner.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have your Belmars. Even Tampa Bay's got like Maroon and Killorn and guys who are not like maybe Killorn. Yeah. Oh, really? You're like 10 seconds ahead of me on the stream. Calm down, that's, Friedman.
That's weird. I'm on a stream too.
Evan, I know, me too.
You need to up that internet out there, Evan.
Yeah.
Package.
Well, I want to give a shout out to Austin Watson for cross-checking guy in the face and yelling at the ref for calling it. But Lightning. I think Arizona's a really quick team too, and that's kind of why they gave the Avs some trouble this year. It's because they can at least skate with them. But yeah, I'd put the Avs in top five in skating. They're just, especially when you have elite skaters, that kind of sets you guys apart.
So that's your, without getting into specific numbers, you have Tampa, you have Colorado, you have Philly, maybe Arizona as the top kind of four in the league.
Yeah, I just throw out Arizona because, I mean, Arizona even has some slow guys like Stepan, but they got a lot of quick guys, and yeah. But yeah, the Avs are up there.
Yeah, they are. They really are, man. That's not an overrated aspect of their game. Right. They get up and down the ice quick. I mean, when you look at each one of the lines, 1, 2, and 3, you know, Nichushkin may not be like a great skater, but he's fast. You know, the top line, obviously, you have Burakovsky and McKinnon. The third line, you have Nemesnikov and Compher. And Donskoy's a good skater, too. He's not particularly fast, but he has great edge work. And then the fourth line, you have Nieto and Calvert with Jost and Belmar as kind of the baddies in that area. So just all the way down the lineup, you've got good to great skaters. And then you get into defensively, and Girard, Makar, Johnson, and Zadorov are all good skaters for their body types. And then some of them are just good skaters. And then the other two are, you know, Graves not so much and Cole not so much.
Yeah.
But yes, like so many of those guys.
Z and EJ, especially Z for how big he is. He doesn't even have to look like he's moving and he's just going to be faster than everybody. That's just kind of how he is. But yeah, this is a great skating team. And the goalies could move too. No, I don't. I've seen him do sprints.
Yeah, nope.
All right. One more Free Skate Friday-esque question here. If I were coming up with an award for the NHL, it would be the Martin Brodeur Offensive Goalie Award. Who is currently the best offensive goalie in the league, in your opinion?
Bishop.
Benjamin?
Offense?
You know, Smith and Rene move the puck really well, too, but they backups.
For the record, leading the league in points this season for goalies was Vasilevsky with 4 assists.
Okay.
It's not something I particularly pay attention to, so I have no idea. 4 assists for a goalie, like, what the heck does that even mean? Puck probably kicked a puck out and then got 2-on-1 with the Lightning, so who the heck even knows? But
yeah,
Rene's always been really good with the puck. Just the way he stops the puck behind the net, too. He'll usually even just like smash his whole body into the boards just to play the puck.
Rene did score a goal this year, so
yeah, he did.
Short list.
Yeah, Bishop's good. Doesn't ultimately come to mind. Frankie's probably the best Avs goalie in a long time when it comes to this
in
stuff.
A long time, man.
A long shot, yeah.
He knows it too because he gets a little adventurous. And there are times where I'm like, Frankie, reel that in, dude. And he'll go wandering and he has no qualms about it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Dude, Nashville is running over Arizona right now.
I told y'all, don't sleep on him. Tried to tell y'all.
Well, this has been happening all series.
Arizona will win this game anyway, but what can you do? All right. Yeah, we're almost at 45 minutes here. So I guess any final thoughts, anything you guys wanted to call out about the bubble that you found interesting or weird or whatever?
I really, to be honest, I've consumed less content than I thought I was going to of like videos and walkthroughs and different things. Like there's a 2-minute Tyson Jost video on
the Avs like party area.
And like I haven't watched it. Yeah. I thought I was going to be super curious about a lot of those things, and then a lot of that stuff started to come out, and it was all the same, and it was like,
I got it. Watch this, or I could watch the hockey game that's on right now. No matter.
Well, it wasn't different from another team's stuff.
Yeah,
it just started to be like, oh, it's got like an Avs logo, or you know.
I mean, let's be honest. The amount of personality in these videos is
limited.
It's not like the NBA's behind the scenes videos. We'll put it that way.
Why did someone have to call out my Florida pick? I said last week, I don't feel good about this.
When you make predictions, especially on record, in which people can go back and be like, oh, this is what they said. Like you're guaranteed to look dumb.
I watched a little bit of that Jost video.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched a little bit of that Jost video, and it's like mask is wobbling, and that's half the comments is like someone needs to teach him to put out a mask. But
Watching the Rockies game last night, the guy that Pablo Sandoval for the Giants had his mask on under his mouth, and I was like,
what's the point?
Why are you wearing this? Because like there were other guys who had like their masks like pulled all the way down, and it was like, okay, like they're not pretending. It's fine. It's whatever. I don't know what the rules are on it in baseball, but it seems to be a player by player thing. But like at least if it's like pulled down, it's cool, right? But his was like up there, but it stopped like right at his bottom lip, and it was, what's the point of this, dude?
Yeah. And I know he's just having fun. Florida let me down big time. Mainly Bobrovsky, but no, I would just say the NHL deserves a lot of credit because this has gone off a lot better than I think anybody could have imagined.
This is like the ideal outcome, because so far there have been no outbreaks, no positive tests. We haven't had any drama with any of the employees that live there that are coming in and out of the bubble on a regular basis. Like none, and that was my concern, is that like those people, you know, that
in these places and things like that. Yeah,
definitely. Like that, it's been great. It really has been. The players seem to be taking this seriously. The games have been good. The production has been for national broadcasts has been good. The regional broadcasts have been a lot more lackluster, but I imagine like trying to broadcast a game from a remote location like this is a total nightmare. The logistics of it have to be awful. Like I don't know who's in the truck deciding switching to which camera and like which highlight packages get thrown up. Cause if you watch the Avs games, like they feel like they're just guessing at times where they're like, oh, let's watch this. And then like, a totally different replay will pop up and they'll be like, well, that also happened.
Yeah.
And then they talk about that, and it just feels like this has to suck for them, for the production guys. Like this has to be a total disaster.
Yeah. I'm sure it's not fun, but
it's I mean, the one thing I do think some of the hockey has been weak. I think some of these round robin teams are pretty clearly, like Boston doesn't look like they're too worried about what position they've particularly get. Philly, like even that Philly Washington game yesterday was ugly. I was watching it and it was just a couple quick plays, but other than that, I mean, it's been great to have hockey back, have it on pretty much all day. I'm ready to get to the real playoffs, I guess, here soon.
Yeah, and this, I think the format has been great, and I think that even though the quality of the hockey has kind of been hit or miss, I do wonder if this is something they revisit in the future. If like they have play-in series every year for seeds that are, you know, 8-10 or something, you know, or they just have a couple of quick play ins and allow everybody else to get a little bit of rest and whatever, right? Like, I think this has been fun enough and that it's gone well and all the fans seem pretty pleased that it would seem odd to just next year to just go back to that, to the old system, especially because so many of us hate the old system anyway. It's been, I mean, how many different matchups? Like Nashville, Arizona. We're getting to see all kinds of different looks that we don't get to see. And that's, I think that has been intriguing. And it's not just the same old thing.
The only reason, and maybe you could just not have the round robin anymore, but I do think the NHL would be opposed to having winning your conference and division not mean anything.
Yeah, they'd have to figure that part out. But other than that, like, I have become a proponent of season should be 70 games around there. And if they wanted to add this little 24-team play-in or whatever to the end of that, that'd be great. But I have kind of become the team that's 82 games is too long. And I think we're seeing that there are other things they can do.
I would agree that it's too long. I don't think that's ever going to – I don't think you want to ring that bell. Ever, you're not going to convince all those owners to give up all that money.
Revenue.
So,
yeah.
I do think, though, that there is room for something like this, a smaller version of this play-in, and really what you do with the top teams, it just can't take 2 weeks. And what you do with those top teams is that the season ends, and then everybody has a day off, and then that's a travel day for whoever needs to travel. And then that next day, you know, season ends on a Saturday. Then Monday night, you start with the play-in round, and it's a best of three instead of a best of five. And then, you know, by that weekend, your round one has started.
You think best of three? I think they could do a best of five in a
week. I think it's too much time off for the other teams. I
think the whole week is too much off.
Yeah. Because then those teams are at a disadvantage because then they might be playing, but now they've got a week's worth of rest, and that's all good and well, but now they're all rusty, and game one turns into a sloppy mess for everybody involved. It's like a bye week. What are the records of those teams coming off a bye week when they're playing teams that aren't? It's terrible. Those teams lose all the time. So I think that's a competitive disadvantage, and so that would be too much time. That's why I have it at best of three. And if you're not going to have, like, the round robin, the seeding is what you earn during the regular season. Have it be a best of three. It takes no more than 5 days, and you're good. You get done and over with.
Well, baseball's play-in is just one game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just the one wild card day.
Yeah, so it doesn't need to be best of five. They could figure a happy medium here. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then by the time Seattle gets in, they'll have 32 teams, so there'll be 8 teams left over. Those teams could have loser fun.
Well, and that's where you play for the lotto.
Yeah,
instead of a lottery, you play for the first overall pick.
Team tournament playing for the first overall pick. That would be sick. Okay. Well, I love the ideas, but we got to get out of here for today. So I got to let all you guys know about WGT Golf. If you want to play some of the best digital golf out there with more than 20 million people around the world, head on over to dnvrgolf.com and search for DNVR3 to join our clubhouse. You can download on your phone. You can also play on your computer however you want to on true-to-life courses like Pebble Beach, Bandon Dunes, Bethpage Black, many others as well. So jump on it today. Come win our weekly tournaments. I think there should be a tournament going up tonight. I forget the name of it. It's the DNVR Bubble Open or something.
That was last week.
Oh, was that last week? All right. Well, we'll have some sort of tournament. Oh, it's the Big Drive. The Big Drive. DNVR Big Drive Tournament. That's right. You know, the golf thing I did yesterday. Quality memory, Rudo. Either way, DNVR Golf. Good stuff, WGTGolf.com to play along. That's it for this episode of Free Skate Friday. We will be back on Monday. Be sure to tune into that show as we will have all of our predictions for round one on that one. So when we get them all wrong again, you can come back and make fun of us again. But until then, we will talk to y'all next time.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network. We'll be right back.